If you're enjoying Night Faces, please check out our Patreon subscriptions for access to soundtracks, cool merch items, bonus episodes of Night Faces, and our Patreon-exclusive award-winning anthology series, Middle West. Fan support helps us to continue making these shows and is greatly appreciated. Welcome. Half Bad Productions presents Night Faces. Episode 9, All Hallows' Eve. Magda's home was torturous to her in many ways. The walls dripped with peeling botanical wallpaper, the acid of a sharp tongue of her mother, causing perpetual damage. Magda had cared for her until her death. She endured the assault, thickening her skin for all life had in store for her. It was, after all, her mother that helped her recognize her gift, her sight. And for that, she was thankful. "Well, it's almost that time, Mama," Magda muttered as she changed out the melted taper candles in the candelabra with fresh black ones. "I know, you hate this time of year. I really don't want to see you either." Magda spoke to the walls of the house, to the spirit of her mother, trapped in the foundation, trapped in the bones of the old farmstead. Delilah wasn't the first spirit Magda had captured. In the days leading up to her mother's death, Magda found her insufferable. She had given her every inch of grace she could muster. She bathed her, nightly, softly rubbing a warm sponge down her skin, her blisters, age spots, the deep veins that webbed across her legs. Time had come for her mother. Time was calling her home. But she clung to her life at the end, like she knew that all she had prayed for was a farce, and what awaited her, well, she didn't want to know. She tortured Magda, hated her. She spat at her during her baths. She called for her all night, just to wake her, just to deny her sleep. They were not a mother and daughter, but a parasite and its host. Magda knew this. And in the early morning, she quietly walked into her mother's room, so as not to wake her, and placed a pillow over her head. She was gentle, and then with a small amount of struggle, it was over. It was all over. She buried her behind the shed. Magda had always been a hard worker, and burying a body, well, it was just as hard as anything else, she figured. When she went inside to wash up, her face covered in soil, her hair matted in sweat, she grabbed the porcelain bowl from the bathroom, the one she always used to bathe her mother, and she was struck, her arms and legs turning heavy, a deep and dark feeling overcoming her, and then a vision of her mother, of her last breaths beneath the cotton pillowcase. She felt her pain, the deceit of the act. But she felt something else, too. It was love and memory and great pride. It was her mother's last thoughts, her feelings for Magda. She wasn't scared. She was happy to go. She knew that Magda could do it. It was that evening that Magda pulled the Ouija board from the closet. The first time she connected to it as a tool, that she realized she was the herald of some power beyond this realm. She invited her mother home, back into the house. She told her she would keep her safe and pull her from whatever existence she was in to the old familiar. When her mother said yes, Magda quickly folded the board and slid it into its case. She didn't say goodbye. Magda moved around her home now, humming a happy tune. She hung a garland of bones in the archway. She arranged pumpkins and gourds in the empty corners of each room. She had plenty of spider webs already growing. She was never much for dusting. She worked meticulously until every room was adorned in the unearthly essence of the upcoming holiday. It was, after all, her favorite time of the year. Halloween. When she was through, she sat down at the kitchen table, cigarette in hand, twirling it above the skull-shaped ashtray she had just pulled out. There was a knock at the door. "Come on in, Henry. It's open." "Well, hey, Magda. I came as soon as Anna told me you called." His dog trotted in behind him, the two of them, no doubt, holding the image Magda needed at the forefront of all of their nightmares. "I suppose you know what I want to talk about." Magda tapped her cigarette against the ceramic skeleton. She still saw such despair in Henry's eyes, like it was the day he found her body all over. This was a man that could hold pain. He was a caretaker of sorrow. He held it in order not to unleash it. "Yeah, I do. You want to know more about that poor girl? About what I saw?" "Yes, Henry. Every detail. It's important." Henry's dog whimpered at his feet, their emotions intertwined. A unique connection between a man and his dog, between two softened beasts. "I didn't linger. You know that, Magda. You know she wasn't shot or anything. Police confirmed it. It was a beating, my guess. She was in bad shape. There was a lot of blood. I think she could have maybe been stabbed. I don't know." "You think the murder weapon was a knife?" Magda questioned. "Because they never found it. They never found a damn thing that linked Jesse to this." Henry paused for a moment. "No, I don't think it was a knife. I think it was something else. And no, I don't think it was Jesse either. I knew that boy. I still go hunting with his dad. I think you're looking for someone with a lot of strength to do what he did. Someone who really wanted to hurt her." Magda thought on this for a moment. She closed her eyes, and in Henry's presence, she tried to see what he saw. The ditch, the soft summer air settling into the forest, pockets of sunlight pouring in from the morning, and then her hand, exposed, dark and bruised, mud beneath her fingernails, half buried, her hair rusted in blood, her forehead split. Her skirt is torn, it's still sparkling beneath the leaves, and there's something else there. Magda tries to focus on it, but then she comes to Delilah's eyes, still open. They are cloaked in a fog, imprinted in terror. Her beauty is cracked open, and the forest floor encases it now, pulling only half of her body in. Magda opens her eyes, the pain of her sight too much. She realizes that this is something that she hadn't wanted to see. It's why she didn't ask Henry earlier. It's why this was still unsolved. The closer she came to the truth, the more she had to accept it. She sent Henry home. Magda walked to her bedroom, and she pulled the small piece of Delilah's torn skirt that Cross had given her from her dresser drawer. She didn't want to believe that Jerry could have done this to Delilah, but she knew she was blinding herself from the terrible truth, and what she needed to do was see. Thank you for listening to Night Faces, the award-winning audio drama by Half Bad Productions. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a rating and review. If you would like to support the creators of this show, purchase merchandise and soundtrack downloads, or to work with Half Bad Productions, please visit our website, halfbadproductions.com, or download the Apollo Podcast app and subscribe to support audio fiction creators and gain access to all sorts of exclusive content. If you want more haunting narrative fiction, check out Middle West, Night Faces' sister show,
all about the Midwest and its monsters.
Let me tell you a story.
This is the emergency broadcast system. This is not a test.
She thought of that idea of happiness, how it could hold on. She watched the minutes count down on her watch, exposing the smallest parts of her skin each time she pulled back her sleeve to check, aware of what the air was capable of. What a thought, that the air could kill you. She would check her watch, and each time that number grew smaller, and she knew she was further away, unable to retrace her steps, and the snow blew around furiously in the heavy wind. Fell down in front of the black water, confused, the ice pushing upward, erupting from the lake. Oscar looked into the crackling pool in front of him, and looking back were two neon green eyes, rising from the water, skin and scales, teeth that were razor sharp, a beast from below. Would any of her? There was a slight vibration in her body. She felt it move through her as the ship held her in suspension. She was held in a small distance, not ascending, as if they were examining her first, like an insect crawling in your hand, frantically evading death, mounting the great craters of your palm and knuckles, caught in a circle of skin.
Middle West is an anthology series by Half Bad Productions, the creators that brought you the award-winning audio drama, Night Faces. Join us for a Midwestern horror show. Or visit halfbadproductions.com for more information.
Delilah stood, her back to the cottage, her feet still bound to the grounds, but her body was shaking. A cool rain fell. You could hear it hitting the tin roofs. It started gently in the morning, and then it became restless and turned to tantrum, beating down. She was at the fringe of the forest. The creatures weren't at the gate. It was her chance. This moment of dread, the woods she couldn't face, her faded memory dying with the summer greenery. She knew the answers she needed were there, even if her mother was gone. Cross watched her from the cottage. She told him she was going. When she looked back, he didn't wave to her. No nod of approval. He only stared as she stood, looking at her through the sheet of rain. She took a deep breath and stepped past the threshold. It was dark and cold, not the kind she was used to now. The thick pine hung over her, a canopy of darkness that shielded her from the downpour. The woods were alive with the growth that came from a good rain, that came from a little coolness. She had to find the place that she was buried, the source of memory. She could feel it. It pulled her back to it, as if nature wanted revenge too, as if it knew the score. It had seen unthinkable acts of violence. It held the image of her killer, his walk, his weapon, the size of his shoulders, the remorse he felt, if any, his reasons, his rage. These woods, they wanted her to know what they had seen, and she was ready now. As Delilah came closer, her body began to ache. Her head was throbbing. She had an agonizing pain in her chest. It was burning and piercing. Her bones felt like they were breaking. She fell to the ground, unable to bear it, her sight turning red. She closed her eyes. She wanted to pray for strength, but she didn't know who to ask. And she was so close. She reached her hands out, sinking them into the wet ground and pulling her body inch by inch closer to this feeling of pure misery. Again and again, she clawed at the earth, using all the power she had left to pull herself to the spot. Each movement forward held more pain, but also more recollection of the events that brought her here. The memories began to flood her mind. That night in her car, the moonlight, the sound of the engine, and then the forest. Not this one. the force close to home. She was running and he was at her back. And what had he said to her when she saw him through the window? Just his eyes above the glass. They were familiar. She knew him. His voice was comforting at first, but then he opened the door. She saw what was in the passenger seat and stepped back quickly. Her skirt tore at the edge of the vehicle, falling. She scooted herself backwards against the pavement as the image of him in shadow overcame her. She knew. She knew her fate right in this moment. She considered even not running. But her body acted out of instinct, pulling her from the concrete. She sprinted into the woods. She ran as fast as her body would allow, like running straight into the lake as a child, her feet soaring, like she was hovering above the earth. But this time, she ran for her life. She ran for her last chance at it. So fast, but then just as quickly, he grabbed her, her hair in his hands, his arms around her. He threw her to the ground, and as she turned to see his face, she muttered, "No, please." First, she saw red, and then the darkness. Delilah laid down now in her shallow grave. The forest had made it new, but she knew where she was. Her body fit. The memories were alive again. Her skin was buzzing with the wounds beneath the surface, healed only by death. She had clues, more than before. She knew where she died. She knew when it ended. And she wanted to go home. Home to Cross. West Sal had fallen into darkness on this All Hallows Eve, the light waning early as it did this time of year. The children were home now, costumes dirty at the ankles. Bags full of candy and popcorn balls from trick-or-treating were splayed out across the floor. Their parents were drinking spiked cider and not paying enough attention. Outside of town, the light from night faces burned bright red into the sky, casting a spell almost, asking souls of both the living and the dead to visit. The girls at the club were buzzing in the dressing room, their outfits exposing the usual amount of skin, but in costume, it felt different. There was always an excitement on Halloween, a forgiveness of your human form, the ability to be someone else, something else. The bar was filled with heavy smoke, billowing up from the floor and casting itself into the corners and booths. The smell was toxic. The lights strobed in orange and purple. Skeletons hung from the ceiling. The beat from the speakers shaking their bones. At the bar, Magda was dressed as a witch, a black dress cut deeply down her chest, her dark hair curled tightly, classic red lip, and fishnet stockings tucked into pointed boots. She was a sight, and this was her night. Cross was sitting at the booth next to the stage, alone, drinking gin. He wasn't dressed in costume, and he stuck out like a sore thumb amongst the rest of the crowd. It seemed that the people of West Sal took the holiday quite seriously. Delilah was sitting at the end of the bed, back at the cottage, her cardigan folded neatly next to her, her skirt and top laid over it. It was the first time she could wear something different. She could shed her clothes as a ghost, and she could put them back on, but they never changed. She couldn't wear anything else. Not because she couldn't physically touch it or hold it in her hands, but because it felt wrong against her skin. It hurt. It extended past some boundary of her body and the earthly world. But tonight was different. Those same boundaries didn't exist on Halloween. And they had a plan. Delilah, Magda, and Cross. To meet. To decide her fate. To reveal what they knew of her killer. To finally set in motion the act of revenge they sought. Magda had placed a small bag in the parlor earlier that day for Delilah. Delilah would need a disguise that all spirits had on the night of the dead. She would need a costume. Delilah walked into the field. Under the moonlight, her costume glowed. She twirled in the tall grass. She felt the breeze in a way she hadn't in so long. It soothed her skin. She felt some warmth in her body. She didn't see a single creature in the forest. She felt happy. Cross and Magda waited in the parlor. Magda was drinking a whiskey. She was nervous. Cross was too. It felt like a violation of all he and Delilah had to share it with anyone else. He was afraid of what Magda might see when they were together, Would his eyes linger too long? Would he be too obvious? The candles in the parlor were lit. They illuminated the small space. It was warm, the walls gleaming with the dancing flickers of flame. Cross noticed that Magda had cleaned up. "Did you dust in here?" he asked. Magda shrugged and took another drink. "I wanted it to look nice for her." "Oh, that's nice of you, Magda. So, you don't meet with actual ghosts all that often?" He looked at her with a smirk. No, actually, just one. But that's not really how it works." "How do you know this will work?" Cross asked. "I've done it before," Magda answered. Just then, Delilah walked into the room, her face painted in black and white, her short hair slicked back, white bones lining black, skin-tight fabric. She was holding a drink, dressed as a skeleton. Cross and Magda laughed. "Cross, this is Delilah. This is our girl." Magda introduced the two of them with tears in her eyes. Cross stood to shake Delilah's hand, and time itself slowed. He felt a warmth in her he never had. She felt his skin in a way she couldn't before. For a moment, they just stood there, their hands intertwined, looking in each other's eyes, taking each other in, feeling what they would have felt in another life, another timeline, one with less blunt force trauma. Magda interjected, pulling Delilah into her arms, laughing and crying. "I'm so sorry, honey, but I am so happy to see you now." Delilah held on to Magda, feeling her embrace, and then laughed. "I'm just happy you didn't dress me up as a ghost." They all sat together, taking pulls of whiskey from the bottle as the night waned, and the time came closer for Delilah to sink back into her spiritual form. The lightness in the room changed, and they all knew what they were here to do. Cross started. "It was Jerry." "We don't know that for sure," Magda looked to Cross and then back at Delilah. "We found this piece of your skirt in his truck, and I tried to see with it. I got a lot of feeling from it, you know, the way he felt about you, and I didn't like it. But I didn't see anything more." Delilah stayed quiet. She considered all she knew, from her trip to the forest, to the place she was buried in the woods. "There's also Erasmus. Do you remember anything about him from that night? Do you remember this?" Magda placed a small golden crucifix on the table. "I felt something from this." Delilah reached out and touched it, only for a moment, and then retracted her hand. It hurt to touch, a burning pain. Magda took notice. "I'm not sure," Delilah answered. Cross placed the small piece of her skirt on the table too. "Listen, Jerry was a main suspect in the investigation. They found his fingerprints on you. He had this hanging in his windshield for anyone to see. That's a sense of pride, for Christ's sake. That's textbook murderer shit." Cross paused and looked to Magda, who had shared this with him. "And he assaulted you once before." "I know where I died." Delilah looked down as she spoke. "It was the woods near home. I was on my way home from work. There was a large truck or a van on the side of the road. I just remember the hum of the engine and running in the woods. I was struck. Something he held in his hands, not his bare hands." Cross and Magda looked at each other. "Jerry was the last to see you that night. His place is near your parents. He knows the land. It's damning," Cross asserted. Magda felt defeated. She looked at Delilah, and she thought back to that time behind the bar when Jerry had his hands on her. The look on Delilah's face then, and she had it now. Delilah looked into Cross's eyes. "Do it, Cross. I trust you." Cross looked to Magda, and she nodded, and then said, "If she's in, I'm in." Magda walked into her house just before midnight. The events sure to unfold had her mind ablaze. She was exhausted. She unlaced her boots and rubbed her tired heels. She pulled the pins from her hair and set them on the table. She looked to the clock and couldn't decide if it was time for another drink or a pot of tea, but surely not sleep. Not with what was to come. She pulled a cigarette from the small tin case she kept them in, closing her eyes and blowing the smoke up toward the ceiling as she rested her head against the chair. "You got one for me?" a voice came from the dining room. "Of course, Mama." Magda looked to her mother, encased in old age. She wondered, often, if she should have killed her when she was younger. You look like shit, her mother said to her. So do you, Magda laughed. And they sat next to each other in the minutes leading to midnight, tapping ash, holding hands, stuck together, as they always would be.
Hi, I'm Isabel, the creator, writer, and voice behind Night Faces, and I want to take a moment to talk to you about Apollo Plus. Night Faces recently joined the Apollo Plus exclusive roster. What that means is that you can listen to the show ad-free, gain early access to new episodes and seasons, more on that later, and a bunch of other cool stuff. And don't worry, you can still listen to Night Faces for free on your favorite podcast apps. This is just one way you can help support us. Apollo Plus is a creator-owned platform where every subscriber helps audio fiction creators. When you subscribe, you are supporting not only your favorite shows, but probably your soon-to-be new favorite shows, too. There's so much to discover there. And the exclusive content you have access to comes from a curated catalog of top-notch audio fiction. Not only that, but creators receive 70% of their revenue on Apollo Plus, so that they can create a new series or another season of your favorite show, all thanks to you. Join Apollo Plus through the Apollo Podcast app or by going to apollopods.com.